Hey, it's Trevor Grant. Welcome to the Revenue Hub podcast. Today we are joined by two guests, Sylvia Cantarella, founder of Revenue Acrobats, and Alessandro Ali Crotti, founder of Direct Your Bookings. In this podcast, we discuss how the crisis has shown once and for all that revenue and marketing, as well as sales, must work more closely together. We explore why silos should be broken down, the value of sharing data, and why strategies to generate demand are so much more effective if both sides are involved. Whilst this conversation is mainly targeted towards those working with independent hotels, the principles apply across the industry as a whole. Anyway, hope you enjoy it. Let's get started. So welcome. And today we are joined by, as you can see, two guests. So let me welcome them both individually. So we've got Sylvia Cantarella, founder of Revenue Acrobats. Hi, Sylvia. How are you?
Hi, Trevor. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. Great to have you with us. And Alessandro Ali Crotti. Is that correct? Crotti?
That's correct.
from Direct Your Booking. I apologize. My Italian is dreadful. So you're from Direct Your Bookings. Well, welcome, Ali. How are you?
Thanks. Thanks, Trevor. Thanks. Bye. Hi, Sylvia. How are you?
Hi, Ale. Fine, thanks.
Now, just for anyone watching, you guys know each other quite well.
and we know each other, yes.
And we'll get you both to do a separate intro for those who don't know each other. So, Sylvia, if I can kind of start off with you, and if you can just give us a quick overview.
Sure. So, I'm Sylvia Cantarella. I've been working in revenue management for almost 16 years now, out of which 13 years I spent in chains, covering different roles as a director of revenue management for an area, F&B revenue management, group and catering. Over the past 3 years, I've been working with independent hotels and founded my own also consultancy firm, which is the Revenue Acrobats, where I give training and consultancy to independent properties. And I'm also co-founder of the Profiter startup, which deals with distribution.
Very good. Thank you. So keep yourself busy then.
Yeah, pretty busy.
And Ale, if you could just give us a brief intro, that would be great.
Yeah, I only have one firm and not two like Sylvia. So I'm not as busy as Sylvia, but anyway, I just started. Well, not just started, but one and a half years ago, I launched my venture, my solo venture, which is Direct Your Bookings. And the name kind of says it all in the sense that I help hotels, especially independent hotels, drive more revenue and especially direct bookings and reduce their distribution cost. But overall, the way I do it is by connecting what I consider really the two sides of the same coin, which are marketing and revenue. And by revenue, I also mean distribution. Essentially, those are the three domains I mainly work with. I always work in the hotel industry, even before working. I studied hotel management. I never left, actually, the industry. I simply, at a certain point in 2010, I simply jumped on the other side of the bench, so working from hotels and for hotels, and working in hotels, to work for hotels, but always as a sort of bridge between revenue, because I was born as a revenue manager, and then evolving, also following kind of my passions, which were more related to web designing and web development, and combining all together with all distribution, which is naturally my obsession.
That's brilliant. Well, look, it's wonderful to have you both with us today. And the purpose of, I mean, we've spoken independently and we've both known each other, so it seemed very sensible to pull you both together for a number of reasons. Obviously, you are used to dealing, having had experience in hotel companies, but your focus is a lot working with independent hotels around, as you say, the revenue generation, revenue management, revenue optimization. So bringing in the revenue management piece, the distribution piece, the digital marketing piece. And I think what we wanted to do in discussions that we've had separately is to look at how, with this crisis situation, with the COVID-19 situation, there had been this ongoing discussion about breaking down silos, which has been happening for years and never really happened. But all of a sudden, either because staff have been laid off or they've been furloughed or different roles and responsibilities, suddenly, who is responsible for what? Who is driving demand when there's no revenue to be optimizing? Or is there revenue to be optimizing? There's all of these questions that have suddenly appeared because of this rather unique situation that we've got into. So we thought it'd be great to get you guys, because you look at the complete piece, and really just get your impression. Now that these barriers are being broken down for us, how has the role changed? How has the role evolved? And, you know, is it revenue management leading the demand? Is it marketing? Where does sales fit into this? So it's a very broad question, very broad topic. Probably haven't got enough time to cover loads around it, and we got some areas to focus in on. But who wants to kind of kick off first, just with an overview of maybe what you're seeing, and then we can start to focus in on some areas.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor, for the question. Silos. So, as you correctly said, we have been talking about silos for years. I remember when I used to work in chains, we probably started about talking about breaking silos 10 years ago. So it's nothing new, but as we are still discussing about it right now, it means that the issue, let's call it issue, is more contemporary than ever. So let's try to contextualize it first. What is a silos, and why do silos happening in the hotel industry? Silos happen when the different functions, the teams, the processes, and the information aren't shared or integrated in the company as a whole. So each department works independently without sharing important information with other departments. And this happens, why? Why does this happen? Mostly because from my experience in the past, the different departments, I'm talking about revenue, marketing, sales, distribution, had different goals, which not necessarily went to the same direction.
Yeah, good point.
So like the most common thing was like revenue had to optimize, drive RevPAR. Sales had to bring leads and new demand to the property. So once we have on one side, revenue that needs to optimize, marketing that needs to drive visibility, sales that needs to drive customers, you know, there are some sort of different objectives in the field. So now more than ever, things are changing. And what we are seeing in the market needs to do right now is that the main goal which accumulates everybody is to drive GOP. Is actually to drive profits to our hotel, and which is something that we need now more than ever, and that COVID just amplified. Something that we had to drive before, but now it's really what we need to do is drive profits, drive demand, because the demand that is out there is very limited. And that's why I think what I'm seeing from my experience right now, the mentality in the hotel industry is really changing. So we see, and that's why we are here right now, that marketing and revenue really need to join forces, because it's not a matter of going each one on different direction, but going toward the same direction, trying to understand who are our new guests, who is our new demand, and what we can do to drive that little demand that is unfortunately out there at the moment to bring it to our properties.
Yeah, good point. Ali, do you want to sort of join in on that and give your thoughts and views?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's also quite relatively easy, in the sense that I made my introduction saying that one of the things that I mostly believe in is about marketing and revenue being the two sides of the same coin. And what Silvia just said is exactly like that. And now, even more than ever before, this is actually... It's kind of quite interesting, in the sense that there has been many discussions and discussion, or even polls floating around in the last couple of months, where essentially people were asking themselves, or were asking other hotel professionals, okay, what's going to be more important now, or where there's going to be the rebound? So from that point on, what's going to be the most important thing? And usually the answers were around marketing, revenue, distribution, and sales, generically speaking, sales. Those were usually the four domains. And actually, that was quite weird to me, not because of the four different answers, but because the question itself was quite weird, but probably, and eventually, because I really believe those are essentially all connected. I used to I used to actually bundle everything under the word marketing and not to underestimate the revenue, but simply because revenue is marketing, essentially. Housekeeping is marketing for me. It's marketing. It's all about, you know, driving actually demand from a certain point of view. And now more than ever, marketing and the revenue needs to be on the same side. And me personally, I had a sort of kind of, let's call it case study, but experience for no matter how many experience you can have in this kind of period, because of course, most of hotels are still closed. But anyway, some are trying, and especially during the lockdown, most of them were actually totally, you know, they didn't do anything from a marketing perspective. So they were totally shut down, period. So nothing was moving on. But as soon as a certain government announced that they were about to reopen their borders, well, actually, I tried to have a couple of examples, mostly based on the, essentially, what I thought is that, okay, in this very moment, it's totally wrong, in my opinion, trying to focus on selling in the real, selling, offering something tangible to buy. Mm-hmm. But it was more about relationship. Still, as it was before, as soon as the COVID situation started, everything was about relationship with me. So nothing about the word selling, the watchword selling was something that needs to be totally forget about. Mm-hmm. But then it started a couple of campaigns based on this objective. So with the overall goal of driving engagement, and actually it turned out that the simple fact that we were not selling, we sold. It's a kind of a paradox. It's a kind of an irony in the sense that we were not selling anything. We're just simply communicating what was happening and how we hotels, I'm talking about we mentioning as part of a sort of extension of the hotel, we were dealing with the situation also from a country perspective, and that already generated demand. And
so
it's
just so I understand, so this is a campaign that you were running on behalf of one of your clients. Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
And you weren't putting out particular offers at the time.
No.
This was so. What would the campaign have been around without being specific about hotel and everything?
Yeah. Specifically was a campaign. When it comes to marketing campaigns, I work a lot and much more with Facebook rather than Google, because Facebook is very good at reaching out to that latent demand that is opposed to the effective demand. Potentially is way more powerful, in my opinion. But anyway, using Facebook, and if you know Facebook, you have different objectives based on, you know, essentially the steps or the stage of the funnel you are at. So top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, and bottom of the funnel. And the overall goal was simply post engagement. So simply posting something organically on the page of on the Facebook page of the hotel organically, and after a couple of days, 2-3 days, so after that you reach the maximum that you can get with the organic reach, so without spending a dime, then we start running a few campaigns of this such. We're simply boosting posts, even though the technical term is not actually right because we are not boosting posts, but we're actually running campaigns targeting specific people, and the reaction was extremely good in the sense that on average, 20% of people engaged, 15 up to 20% of the people who we reached through the ad actually engaged with the ad. And by that, I mean, no, I actually don't remember the absolute number. It was around the 2,000 people reached, and we got around, it's difficult to track, but around 8 up to 10 requests out of nothing. And again, that's the beautiful thing, I mean, in the sense that, you know, it's selling without selling.
It's the
very old saying, no one likes to be sold to, but everyone likes to buy. And that's actually what in a way it sums up everything that happened in that moment. But again, it was not necessarily a revenue in that moment, but it was more marketing. However, the second step of the campaign was about, okay, let's try to be more, in quotes, aggressive with those people who engaged with the previous part of the engagement post. And let's try to sell them something. And that is actually where the performance kind of dropped from a certain perspective, in the sense that it was no longer a question of pricing. And that's how the hotel wanted to approach, even though we were in a little bit of a discussion. I said, okay, but I don't quite feel it right, in the sense that, okay, we cannot sell something that is too restrictive from, for example, a minimum length of stay, you know, or a cancellation policy, especially at this very, very, very moment. Cancellation policy are very, very, very sensitive. Yeah. Actually, that is where everything kind of stopped. That is where I, even more than ever, I realized, okay, marketing and revenue needs to work together. So this kind of campaigns, it's not the marketing manager or the sales manager or the VP of marketing that needs to think about it, but is really marketing and revenue together from the very beginning. To me, you know, I mean, there is no even such a differentiation. Revenue and marketing are the exact same figures. I mean, it's just like the left brain and the right brain. The right brain more emotional, okay, marketing. The left brain the more rational, okay, revenue. But it's the exact same thing.
Sylvia, do you jump in? Yeah, go on, jump in on that.
No, I agree. I want to jump back 1 second when you say we're not selling right now, but we are driving. I think that driving is really the right word at the moment. We have to drive demand, which means there is that kind of demand that it's out there. We need to drive it to our property. Maybe it's some demand that will go to a competitor or to another destination that we need to drive to our own house. And I totally agree that marketing and revenue are so blended together. And if we think at the traditional definition of revenue management, we actually touch the four pillars, which also are the four pillars of marketing. So it's like product, customer, moment, and price. Right now, probably more than ever, we are concentrating both our efforts from the revenue, rational, and the marketing work creative on the customer, because we need to understand who's your customer and how to correctly address the needs of the customer in order to create really a tailor-made offer for this new post-COVID life. And that's why revenue and marketing have to join efforts now more than ever. And if I think what I can, from a revenue side, bring on the table compared to what Alessandro can bring on the table, and the example that you brought was perfect. You started with a campaign that was running engagement, and then you said you tried to sell something to the guests, but you didn't have the expected return on that. So why do you need revenue marketing? Starting from this example, start to work together. And what can revenue bring on the table on that side? As I said, during the whole lockdown period, which was very long here in Italy, first of all, we need to have a lot of data on our hands. And our revenue manager, we are the masters of data. That means not only our internal data, but what we need to work on right now is also external data, benchmark data, everything which is big data can help us understand how the world is changing.
Yeah, good point.
Can be benchmark or data coming from other suppliers or travel and transportation, anything that really can help us draw the new segment, draw the new customer type. And then from that, we start breaking it down and understand the needs of the new segments. So who is our customer? What are the needs? Because if we make some campaigns and marketing runs the campaigns, but doesn't have all this information at his end, like who's the new customer type, how did the behavior change in terms of booking pattern, length of stay, willingness to pay can be, or what kind of restrictions is able to accept, or can we maybe entice the guest towards an offer, which can be something that he's looking for. Thinking about, for example, right now, leisure demand is coming a bit back. A bit dependent on the destination.
Yep.
And let's put that as another example, the family market. How can we attract the family market? Should we attract it the way we used to do it before COVID, or maybe is it something changing? If it's something changing, maybe we can understand what are the needs and work with marketing to find a specific offer which is really targeting that specific segment, which could be added value. And value is now important more than ever because we don't want to discount. And so going back to your example, Ale, you said it was probably not a matter of pricing, the fact that your campaign didn't bring the expected results. So maybe there was something missing on the value add. Because as I said, we end up discounting when we give up on value. So let's work together with marketing to understand how we can blend all our, you know, strengthness, the way we see the customer on the revenue side, the way that it meets with the marketing definition of the same guest, and see how we can work on an offer which is really effective.
I think that's an interesting point. I wanted to pick up on that because although you were talking about a campaign that you run, and Sylvie, you obviously don't know all of the details behind it to be able to say, well, yeah, we could have done this differently or done that differently. But I guess from my point of view, when you've worked in silos, that example that you've given shows exactly why the working together is so important. And I guess I had a question as to, well, are marketing generating a campaign? And then when they see the engagement, then revenue are developing, you know, the, or they're looking at the revenue management and coming up with the price. But from the hotel's perspective as to how they've always done things, and maybe that's where there wasn't that connection because we're in a different world, but they hadn't adapted their behavior. Or is revenue management looking at, okay, we're not getting the demand. Let's get some products put together. Yeah. And then how do we work with our marketing to then start that early engagement and then move them towards our offering? So I'm kind of interested. It's not a chicken and egg. It's kind of, we are both, you know, two sides of the same coin, but which one leads? Does there need to be a lead? I mean, I'm just interested to get your views. Which comes first, the product and then the engagement and draw them towards it? Or do we engagement and then come up with a product that's going to entice them to buy? And he wants to jump on that one.
Well, if you want to jump on that, even though eventually the answer is not going to be as easy as you want or as you wish.
If only it was, yeah.
If only it was. No, but... actually, there was a good point that I was seeing. I've seen a couple of times floating this again around in the industry. And it was a good point specifically about the revenue management and the role of the revenue manager, asking whether before eventually the role of the revenue manager was about optimizing revenue, and whilst now eventually the role is about driving revenue or generating revenue from essentially from scratch. Mm-hmm. And that actually, it connects to the point that you said about demand, all right? Demand, there is a demand that is a stiff demand, in the sense that my own perception, and eventually Sylvia might not be in agreement with that, I don't know, but my own perception is that before this COVID situation, the revenue manager, the typical revenue manager, was dealing with demand as something that is there, and we react to that as if it was an absolute number that we cannot affect.
Yeah.
The other role of the manager, and that's why, and that's where eventually the two sides actually get into connection, but how is there eventually a way to generate demand, even from a revenue perspective? And I'm making you the example of families. You, Sylvia, mentioned families before. If you, that might be an interested target market for hotel. Do we wait for families to search for our destination, our hotel, for transportation or whatsoever? Or is there a way, and this is a little bit of a rhetorical question, I'm aware of it, but is there a way to actually kind of stimulate the demand by, for example, and this is why, for example, Facebook is extremely well at, because you can reach out to those people who have, for example, families who have kids, who have two children, one child, two children of 8 years old, two children of 16 years old or whatever. You can be extremely so much precise that you can literally get in touch with whoever you want in the most precise way. And that, to me, is generating demand. But generating demand is not even at the mercy of the marketing manager, to me. Because on the other side, if there is a revenue manager that is responsible or accountable for driving a certain amount of occupancy rate, ADR, revenue, and whatsoever, that's why the strategy needs to be, I don't know, it needs to kind of start from the very beginning for both minds. Again, the brain, the left side of the brain and the right side of the brain need to both give birth to the idea of actually driving demand in a way, and therefore converting.
I think that's interesting, because it is, I know, yeah, absolutely, Sylvia, but it is one brain. isn't it?
Exactly.
Yes,
I think that's the bit. It's not two separate hemispheres living in two different bodies. It is the two hemispheres conjoined. Sylvia, go on.
Absolutely. I agree with everything. And I agree, and I can testify that before COVID, the traditional role of the revenue manager was to optimize demand because demand was there. We just needed to optimize, make the most out of it. Right now that the demand is not there, and as you said, it's stiff, but we need to drive demand. So it's a complete different, well, it's not a complete different job. It's actually the same activities that we are doing, but we have a different way of doing them. We are actually analyzing the same things, have our same checklist, but it's just adapting to the fact that we need to drive. So totally agree on that. And going back to the question, so when who is driving first, who is doing what first, I still agree we have to sit down and do the same things together. Because talk. If we do the things...
Let's talk together.
Yeah, reactive. Reactive means that like marketing stuff, marketing starts and revenue follows, or the other way around, which is a reactive way of doing things, which is not necessarily effective, as we said in some examples, like the one of Alessandro said. If we are proactive, we are proactive in the sense that we sit down, we bring all our cards to the table, mean what kind of data can I bring as a revenue perspective on the table, and what do you have marketing on your side? Okay, let's put it down. Let's see how we can mix them up and really build an effective strategy. On the example of the families, that's the way to do it. Like we cannot go back 1 year and say we always did that thing for the family market, just to give an example, and we're going to do the same this year. No, things have changed. So let's see on my side, how is, like, for example, on the revenue standpoint, the demand pattern changing for this kind of segment? What are their needs? What are the willingness to pay? What are the geo sources changing, and the family is coming from this geo source compared to the other is having different needs? So this is something I can bring to the table. But then Alessandro, on the marketing standpoint, will have all other kind of data, like researches on the websites. What kind of, room types are looking for, rate types, what kind of offers are there to the competitors or on Facebook or whatever. If we mix them up together, we come up with a powerful offer. But that's just an example. That's what we should be doing for every kind of activity that we are rolling out right now. And it's a way to go, necessarily now more than ever.
Mm-hmm. It's a strategy, not a tactic, as a matter of fact. I mean, it's not just about thinking of a one-off situation where we need to deal for, okay, we need to think of a solution for the family market, for example, and we find a solution for them and we completely forget about everyone else. It's really a change in the mindset, the way I see it, and being able and being willing to create a combined and bundled strategy together. Actually, I just wanted to add before that it's still one of the things that kind of on one side makes me sad and the other side surprised me, that I was literally chatting no more than 7 days ago or 10 days ago, whatever, with a revenue manager who works for a big chain. Of course, I'm not mentioning the names. Yeah. And he was telling me that he didn't have access, for example, to the Google Analytics data. Wow. Of the hotel. But that's kind of how, especially big chains, and I'm not blaming, I'm just saying that this is how the situation is. Mm-hmm. We are just probably raising the topic and the point so that probably hotel professional will start thinking about it in a different way. And that's what I hope, because to me, that's totally insane. No matter where it is, an independent hotel, a very small hotel, a boutique hotel, or a huge hotel or a huge chain, there are certain areas where it cannot be. It's as if there is some kind of jealousy in a way.
I think you're right. I think it's why I wanted to tee up at the beginning that you guys focus on the independent properties, and you know, your point there around the group is valid. And sometimes those structures can be harder to break down because they're baked in to how those groups work. But with your core target market, the hoteliers that you are working with, where you could have someone with multiple responsibilities, so reservations, maybe looking after reservations and revenue, and you may have sales and marketing. Well, if they are two people, those two people, this is the perfect time. Yeah, and maybe, and right, hopefully it is happening, but that's the time for them to be sitting down and saying, okay, what do each of us know separately and what can we pull together? Because a question, and again, I'll throw it out, and this is maybe my naivety. You guys are the professionals. You know, I'm not, but we're in a different world. We don't actually know, as you said, the demand was always there, so we used to optimize it. We looked at ways in which we could drive a bit more direct and maybe not have to rely on the OTAs, and we kind of did our best efforts. But if we're running at 90-95% or something, it's kind of happy days, you know. We sort of tinker around the edges a little bit.
All the good times.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit of a simplification, but you know the point I'm making. Now we're sitting here and we're going, okay. And I would sit there and think, well, how do I actually price? Because what do my guests actually want? So who are my guests? Back to your point, Ali, of my different, you know, my families and my, you know, my different segmentation. But how am I actually pricing? What do they actually want to know about? What would be enticing? And to me, that's where I would see that left and right brain, if we take that analogy, which I think works really well, actually sitting down and functioning as a complete unit would seem far more valuable. But again, maybe that's my naivety. What do you guys think?
Consider especially my experience, in the sense that I was born as a revenue manager and then I evolved in many different ways. And I learned during this long path, I learned that, I mean, you know, when you're a revenue manager, and I still consider myself a revenue manager in a way. You're right. So don't get me wrong about
still on the dark side. So,
right. No, but what I'm about to say is that essentially, if you want to name revenue with one word, it's essentially about pricing, all right? And that's essentially what we're talking about. And what I've learned, but not necessarily because of what the revenue does is wrong, absolutely. This is not what I mean. But what I learned is that price, the price, the value, is not so extremely important, or it's not as important as we think it is. All right, and this I've learned on my own experience. This I've learned by especially reading and experiencing what has happened in other industry. Because if you probably know me, you know that I read a lot, especially what happens outside of the hotelery, simply because I found a lot of inspiration out there. And it's always there is a recurring path. And science also said that 95% of our decision as human beings happen in essentially the right side of the brain. So it's all about emotions, all right? It's not about the rational part. So, and that's why marketing, but even more so branding, is even more important, because we might set that for a certain target market, what they're willing to spend is 100 euros per night, $100, 100 pounds, whatever. But there is a lot of room for improvement if we handle the customer journey in a proper way and way before the booking moment, to actually boost that limit to one from 100 to 120, 150. I mean, even you guys, how many times has happened that, and I'm not talking about hotels, but whatever that you want to buy, you set a limit of 100 euros, 1,000 euros, whatsoever, and you end up spending way much more. I'm one of them.
Oh, yeah.
I will always be one of them. Always. No matter, even though I know the psychology behind it, I keep falling into the trap.
Absolutely.
And not because it's a trap, but just because it's how we are wired as human beings. So that said, I'm not saying that the pricing is not important. It is important from the moment that we are not marketing. All right, so that we are essentially competing with competitors first, meaning hotels and OTAs, so other third-party channels, from a pricing point of view, from a pricing standpoint, without communicating anything before. That's why engagement before is extremely important, mm-hmm. and other relationship-based marketing campaigns are extremely important. And we have time to do that, because if we consider that on average, the last statistics that I heard, it was about 42 sites that people, travelers, actually visit from the moment they decided to go on holidays to the moment they actually book. Well, that's quite a lot. Right?
Yeah, just,
we can do quite a lot in these 42 times, and actually it was 37 days or whatsoever, actually.
And it was pre-COVID, probably. So
pre-COVID,
now
exactly.
Even, more,
even more.
Because people are looking for the best deals. So.
And especially the average duration. So the time spent on our sites essentially is even more, because they want to know more. They need to get to know more in terms of what, how we have been dealing with this overall situation. So in other words, this becomes an opportunity to win, an extremely good opportunity, especially for independent hotels, because they're not so stiff, all right? Mm-hmm. So the structure can be naturally more flexible at reacting, even though I don't like the words reacting, at
but much more agile in adapting.
Exactly.
Sylvia, do you want to add in?
Yeah.
Different perspective,
totally.
Same perspective.
from the dark side.
Yeah.
No, you know, and you know me, and I'm actually when I hear people talking about revenue management, is managing pricing. I really feel bad. It really makes me feel sad. I'm totally with you on that, because I always sustain the fact that revenue management, let's say it now and forever, it's not about managing prices only, because pricing is just the last thing that you put out there. It's the part that is visible to the customer. But if you don't manage correctly what it's like, I imagine revenue management as an iceberg. So the point of the iceberg is the pricing, but what stands underwater, which is the biggest part, is customer segmentation, distribution channels, room types, product, moment, everything. That's the biggest part of revenue management. So if we manage that correctly, so we can come out with the right pricing. That's why if we talk about what stays underwater, product, room types, customer distribution, it's all blending with marketing, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we need to start thinking about that, that revenue management is not pricing only. I'm with you on that. Also, going back to your question, Trevor, how do we price now? If we have to talk about pricing, but assuming that we already worked on that other part.
With
before,
your point taken, yeah.
Yeah. So if we do revenue management, thinking about pricing only, right now we would go end up discounting. And that's what is happening, unfortunately, around most markets right now, because statistics are showing that there is an evident rate drop, especially on the short term, because hotels are opening, they're worried about their occupancies. That's understandable. But so they are dropping pricing in order to try to attract demand.
Yeah.
So let's try to understand who are our customers now and why are customers not booking at the moment. So people are not booking at the moment not because of pricing, but because they don't feel safe. So safety, health, and security are the main priorities that are driving the guest decision towards one property or the other. So let's start from that now. Second thing is that guests are looking, besides safety, also value. If we give up on value, we end up discounting. And so our role at revenue management is only about pricing, which is really reductive if we think about that. That's why we have to go one step back and again go back to our guests, understand what our new guest needs, and build value and offers around that. So if we focus on value, then our pricing strategy will follow. We won't need any discounts or any price drop because we are focusing and shifting attention towards other elements that are more important to our guests.
I think what's really interesting, and I didn't expect this by getting both of you on, but it's quite interesting to watch how the recognition to work together, but then you start to see a little bit of the separation between the marketing thought process and the revenue thought process. So I think what, if I kind of pull some of the analogies that you've used, because we've heard left and right brain, and we've also, and I think this is quite interesting, we've looked at your iceberg analogy. And I think listening to you both, although you come at it from different directions, and I think that's what's baked into the hotel sector, and you fall towards a left brain or a right brain leaning And some of us, like Ali, have kind of started right brain and moved across to left brain. or the other way around. But I think what's really interesting is if I try in my role moderating this to pull together those two analogies, that what you have is you have the left and the right brain are sitting down together to pull together what we know about the current situation as it is. What external data are we seeing? Where demand might be, where searches may be going on, what people are looking for, that dreaming phase that we're seeing on Google. We're not yet looking at how we're engaging with them and what we're taking to the market. We're first of all just trying to understand who is our customer, what is the situation, what is different, and what could we look at as a hotel to try and drive demand? And that pulls together, I think, the left and the right brain having that discussion. And then overlaying that into the iceberg analogy, all of that is going on below the surface. And then what comes out above the surface, whether it be the pricing, whether it be the campaign, whether it be the platforms that we use to do it, that's when it goes out. That's when everyone can see what is available. Does me bringing those two together make any sense? Any sense at all? Or are you both sitting there thinking, what is this fool going on about?
No, actually, it makes sense to me. Not necessarily for sure, but to me, it makes totally sense. But simply because, and I make you a sort of analogy, another analogy, in the sense that one of the very first thing that I used to kind of complain about is still about how many hotels. Actually, if you jump onto the website, or even if you search for any hotel on Google. One of the very first things that you see on the description on Google, even before jumping to the website, is that perfect location for both business and leisure. That's already, you know, something that, I mean, from a pricing perspective, your price can only go down, 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 down again, because there is no branding essentially. Now, this is the typical point of, you know, trying to marketing to everyone. To get in return marketing to no one, essentially.
Yeah.
So what's my question to you in return, so we're answering your point, is a sort of question in the sense that, okay, what's the role of branding? In the sense that that's what I do believe is where the two, so actually the three areas, even sales, so marketing, sales, and revenue, need to sit down together and think first, okay, who are our customers? But more importantly, who are the customers we want to get? And what's the kind of message that we want to send? That's where the value gets increased, gets higher and higher, and therefore the pricing point can relatively easily be overpassed somehow. But that's really the starting point. And I will start really from not who is my customer, but who I want my customer to be, from a very first point of view.
And that comes back to something you were saying, Sylvia, wasn't it, in terms of how, and this is a key example of where those two work together, if I understand it right, is that from a revenue management point of view, you're looking at strategically not only what your business mix is, but what you actually want your business mix to be, you know, and looking at what you currently know about the guests that continually come to your property, understanding and defining that, and then developing a forward-looking revenue strategy, and then tying that back into that marketing piece as to how do we become more targeted in our marketing to go after the business that we actually want. Is that right? Does that pick up on your point, Sylvia?
Yes, absolutely. And it's a matter of working together, as you correctly said. And it's true what we say, we can analyze and understand who are our guests right now, but it's important, it's part of our job, but not just revenue, marketing, sales, everybody, to also drive to the optimal segment mix and customers mix when we have the possibility to do it, because that's what's really then driving results to our hotels. So once we set and have a clear map of who are our customers, but how or we have also to sit down and see, okay, how can we shift segments demand? How can we decide what our main target customers and where is our focus going towards to? Because this is driving most profits to our hotels. So if we don't work together on that, it's very difficult to achieve this goal.
Yeah.
So absolutely, yeah. Absolutely agree.
Yeah, no, that makes a good point. One area, one silo, if I dare use that word, that we've kind of mentioned a little bit, but not spoken about a great deal, is the sales. Where, so we've spoken revenue, we've spoken marketing, we kind of spoke a little bit about distribution, but I kind of wrap those in and around those two areas. Where does sales fit in this?
Oh, that's a burning topic. You are going to generate some sort of fight.
No. A discussion. Never a
discussion.
Fight.
Okay. No. But you remember the campaigns I was talking about before, the post engagement campaigns I was running for the hotel. Mm-hmm. Actually, I guess this kind of relates to your point because. You remember that we kind of managed to essentially sell without selling. Selling, but selling in the sense that we drove requests, mm-hmm. all right, without selling. Now, being the campaign, in that case, was on Facebook, the primary tool for the guest to get in contact with the hotel was Messenger, all right? So the chat box mm-hmm. of Facebook, not an email or whatsoever. Sure. Messenger, simply because it's in there, all right? And it happened that the hotel lost business opportunities because essentially the response to the request of the customer, of the prospect actually, was something like, okay, can you please send us an email? You see, this is where, okay, but now my question is, who is sales?
All right.
We're talking about sales department. Are we talking about the front office is sales, actually? The housekeeping is sales. Everyone is sales. So who is sales first? And this is my question back to you or to Silvia. Who is sales?
So I would answer with this. When we're lucky to have a sales department, sales does one job, which is like nourishing relationships with clients and operators mostly. Because right now I think sales is mostly concentrated on the B2B side. So like traditional travel agents, congresses, events are really looking for a reference person on property, somebody that can trust and they can send the customers to. Because so it's all about like building relationship and trust and so driving the demand on that side. When we think about the hotel as a whole, I always sustain that everybody's a seller.
Right.
Each one of us, and I'm just not talking about the front desk only, it can be also like the maitre at the restaurant, somebody at the spa, because every time we get in contact with the customer, it's a moment of truth. So it's like we create an experience and we deliver something. So it's important that first we have to transmit this philosophy to all people that are working at the hotel. And absolutely, I agree with you that, Alessandro, this kind of mistakes of treating customers like transactional is happening a lot.
Yeah, good point.
And what really makes me angry, but like super angry when I hear,
right.
When I hear, like, for example, I call the hotel and the answer where I got when I ask for availability and rates, which is the most basic thing that people are asking for, the answer is, the best rate for the lowest room type on this day is full stop. This kind of information, the guest has already seen it on the website. So it doesn't need any human person to provide the same information. If the guest calls on property, it's because he needs to have something more. He needs to have some sort of relationship to understand more about the hotel. So why don't we spend that 2 minutes, 30 seconds, to really provide value, to really be human, actually, towards our guests. And that's something that is not just relating to, as I said, the front office, but to everybody that the guests are coming in contact with during his stay. That's my point.
It's it's, to me, the way I see it is like being better to treat the guests as human beings and not as numbers or simply by what they have in their wallet. This is in a very, very not elegant way. But
that's it was a phrase I used 6-7 years ago was, you know, when everyone was talking about RevPAR, I was saying, well, it's revenue per available wallet. because ultimately you have someone coming through your door that has cash, debit, credit card, and you're trying to maximize how much they spend in your property. But that,
and that's what we're interested in.
Yeah, but that's how it feels it's gone. There is an element where you feel the hospitality piece and treating a guest, you know, the word guest seems to have been almost lost now. They're no longer a guest. They're just an ATM that we can try and take money out of.
It's true.
If we can, I feel some of that element has been lost, and that culturally maybe loses itself when they engage. Because back to your point, Sylvia, even if somebody did see that on the website, but did still ring up because they just wanted to talk to somebody, you answer the question, but the chance to engage in a dialogue with them and find out some more and see what opportunities there may be to, you know, either it was a genuine inquiry and they're looking to book and take that booking now rather than going off and clicking onto one of the OTAs and booking that way, or, you know, just providing additional information that at least provides a service and puts you subconsciously in a stronger position. If they may just be weighing up 1, 2, or 3 hotels, they may decide, I'm going to phone the hotel and see what interaction I get, because that might help me decide whether I feel they value me above and beyond just a price point. You never know why they're calling. But that's a completely different discussion, which we probably won't get
on to. We'll take another podcast for this. Yes,
absolutely. Okay. I think for the purpose of why we were getting together, I think we've covered a lot of areas and a lot of what we wanted to touch on. I think ultimately what we were trying to say is, if the COVID has taught us anything, if there's a silver lining that could come out of this very dark cloud, it's, let's get the left brain and the right brain working much more closely together. Let's value what both can bring to this equation and to solve this conundrum as we go forward about driving demand. We can all, if we have to revert back to our separate silos later on, once we're back at our 85, 90, 90%, 5% occupancy and demand is coming back in again. Okay, great. Well, if that's what happens, at least we're in a better place to do it. But let's, for the moment, I think let's just work together to drive demand and do it collaboratively. And let's get ourselves so our hotel is in existence at a point where we can get back to enjoying those high level of occupancy again. That would be my summation anyhow. But what do you guys think? Have we covered everything you wanted to touch on? Any final thoughts or comments?
In very few words, it's exactly my thought, actually. So no, everything that we have been discussing during this nice call was just about that. And happy to see that also Sylvia agrees that we are in alignment, we are in agreement on the same message.
Did you have any doubts?
No, of course not. But it's always very risky when you put, you know, some like you more revenue oriented and someone like me more marketing oriented. I mean, the risk of fighting is always very high. But no, so we know that 100% of the times we are in agreement.
So I've been able to bring the left brain and the right brain together.
Right. Yeah, but with us, it was easy, actually.
I agree. Well, it's hence why you're both on here.
Yeah. But I would underline what you said, Trevor, which was perfect. Let's go back working together now.
Let's love
drive
each
demand
other.
To drive demand in order to go back optimizing as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant, guys. It was great to be able to get you both on together. I know you know each other well. I know you come from slightly different perspectives, but at the end of the day, I know you're both coming from exactly the same place, which is why I think it was great to have those different angles to illustrate the points. But ultimately, we know that working together is where the power really sits. So Thanks so much. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
So that's the end of our conversation today with our two guests, and I'd like to just thank Sylvia and Ali once again for joining us. I hope you found the podcast interesting, and if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can also find us on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and also subscribe there would be great, as it helps the channel out. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.